In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we have the gospel reading about the Gadarene demoniac, the man who was possessed not just with one demon, but a legion of demons, a great multitude of demons, and how Jesus encountered him. This man who was a wild and crazy figure, unclothed and frightening. It would be a comical scene to see this sort of crazy naked man, you know, living among the tombs, except for how apparent his torment and his suffering is, as well as how frightening his appearance would have been. This man who was restrained with chains, it says, and yet broke free and escaped the guards whenever his fellow citizens tried to contain him. But Jesus comes to him and encounters him. And in this account, in this story, there are three different sort of people or groups of people who encounter Jesus and have different responses to him. That's what I want us to pay attention to today, because when Jesus encounters people, it's hard for them to remain neutral to him. They always have some kind of response, and so it is with us as well. So consider as we look at the responses that these people have, what is our response when Christ lands on the shores of our life? Just as he landed on the shores of the country of the Gadarenes in today's gospel. So Christ arrives, crossing over the sea into the land of the Gadarenes. And as he steps on land, he encounters this crazy, frightening, naked man. And he commands the demon to leave this man. And the first response to Christ that we observe in today's gospel is that of the demons who are controlling this man and speaking through him. And their response is fear, terror, in fact, as they encounter their almighty adversary, their almighty enemy, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself God. And when Jesus casts them out, they do what completely makes sense. Facing an almighty enemy, they plead for the best terms of surrender. Right? Don't send us into the abyss, into that great abyss of punishment and torment, which they are destined for eventually. But they say, instead of throwing us into the abyss, cast us into these swine. And our Lord shows his great mercy, merciful even to the demons who are unalterably opposed to him. And yet he shows them this mercy of sending them into the swine rather than sending them into the abyss. And the swine rush off the cliff and are drowned in the sea. Because the demons, their only purpose in this life is to destroy things, right? To harm people and to destroy things. And so, of course, that's what they do to the swine. So their response is completely predictable. Completely rational. Facing an unbeatable enemy, they plead for the best terms of surrender. Well, after the demons are cast out of the man, he is transformed. Transformed completely. So that when the citizens of that country come to see what's happened, they find this man who had been such a terror and such a threat completely docile, clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't have to be restrained or guarded anymore. He's no longer dwelling amidst the tombs, but he's at the feet of the Master, learning from him. And his response to this healing is also completely rational and predictable. Having received this great blessing, he is overwhelmed with love and gratitude for Jesus. First of all, he's there sitting at his feet. He's like, tell me whatever you want to tell me. I'm here. And then when Jesus leaves that country, it says he begs. And the word choice is so great because it doesn't say he begs to go with Jesus. He pleads with him just to be with him. He just wants to be with Jesus. He loves him so much and he's so grateful. He just wants to be with him. So his response too is completely understandable and rational. But there is a third group of people in this gospel reading who have what seems to us as outside observers as an absurd reaction, a completely irrational reaction to what has just taken place. The people of that country, they hear word that this miracle has happened, that this wonder, and you know, also about the swine that have rushed into the sea and been destroyed. They come out and they see, it says they see, sitting at the feet of Jesus, the man who had been possessed with demons, but now clothed in his right mind. And what is their reaction? Do you remember what their reaction is? It says they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Shouldn't they have been afraid before? When there was a crazy naked man who couldn't be held in chains and couldn't be guarded, who was sort of like roaming the countryside? But now that threat is gone, and they are afraid. It goes on, the gospel goes on to say, and those who had seen it told them how he who had been possessed with demons was healed. Then they were seized with great fear, and they pleaded with Jesus to depart. Jesus brought a wondrous healing, which was not just a healing for this one man, but a healing for his community, removing this threat. And you can imagine also how worried they were about this man, who was one of their neighbors originally, before he was possessed with the demons. Jesus had healed this man and his community, and now, because of their fear, he's being asked to leave. Why? It doesn't make sense. It's absurd. Well, this is just another instance of how dearly sort of invested we are in the status quo. Invested in the status quo. Because this man's craziness was expected and predictable, it was comfortable for them. But now things were changing and it made them uncomfortable. And then when they heard how he had been healed, how was he healed? Through the destruction of all those valuable swine, right? All of those valuable swine destroyed. When they heard how he was healed, they were seized with great fear. They said, this Jesus, he's going to come and change everything and destroy all of our livelihood and take away all of our wealth. And what are we going to be left with? He's going to turn our world upside down. So please, Master, leave. You know, like, thank you for the healing, but thanks but no thanks. Please leave. This, now, hopefully we can see, is a temptation for all of us. It's easy in the abstract to say, oh yes, Jesus, come and heal me. Save me. Fix my life. But how is he going to fix your life? How is he going to heal you? He's going to do so by turning your life upside down. He's going to do so by taking away your comfortable status quo in order to give you something better. But in order to embrace that gift, we have to have courage. We have to have courage, and we have to look beyond what is so immediate in our minds. You know, all of the things that are comfortable in our status quo, our wealth, our livelihood, our health, our family, our relationships, all of these things, we have to be willing to let all of those things go for the sake of the healing that Christ wants to bring to us when he lands on the shores of our life. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us really search ourselves and ask ourselves this question. When Christ comes to us, are we willing to let go of the things that he wants to take from us so that we can receive the good things that he wants to give us? And if not, let us strive for the courage and for the perspective that's necessary in order to receive the blessings of God. To whom be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.